the rural retail environment. So we have understood the logistics models that is possible to ensure your goods reaches the rural market. Now let's understand the rural environment. And so when you say environment, it is not the weather, it is overall the economy and commercial environment of the rural India. Traditional mom and pop stores and few modern retail stores have emerged recently. So rural markets are served essentially traditional mom and pop stores, means like a typical single retailer type of shops, and modern retail stores, which are well designed, storing multiple items, almost like a mini supermarket, is also started coming in the rural areas. It is easy to distribute the truckload of soaps in an urban market covering a small geographic areas. However, to sell the same truckload in rural market, one has to cover hundreds of small village. So Hindustan Unilever, with its kind of, say, one soap, if it has to distribute within Mumbai, possible to load one truck and it goes, starts from VT to Borivali or VT to Thane, that one truck can keep going to various wholesalers, stockists, etc., and unload the goods, which is not the case. So they may just travel 50 to 60 kilometers only in a day, but they will do more turnover, which is not the case when it comes to rural India, where they may have to travel hundreds of kilometers far and wide, and yet their overall volume turnover may be lower than a truckload. So that's a challenge. However, to sell the same, so for distribution purpose, most durable companies define rural as any location with population less than 50,000. So population less than 50 is defined by the durable companies. So durable companies like the refrigerator, washing machine, etc., these are products once purchased will be in your house for at least 7 to 10 years and more, kind of. So they are known as a durable. Below the 20,000 population, the return diminishes, and therefore it becomes unviable to operate a single or a inefficient distribution channel. And one of the key dilemmas of the MNCs eager to tap rural markets to determine whether they can do there without hurting the company's profit margin. So to do this, rural marketing companies are often shy of going because it is definitely a challenge to reach out in the rural market. So there is going to be certain additional cost. This additional cost is going to hit your margin. So the trade-off has to happen for getting that kind of a volume. It is worthwhile spending this much extra cost to just earn this much of margin. So there is a trade-off between volume and the margin that you earn out of. How collectively this is going to shape up your total volume and total margin picture, that generally decides the rural penetration strategy. So you notice that in the rural area, the change is coming due to rising disposable income, because agriculture and non-agri industry is also growing. With rising disposable income, they want more and more utilitarian product for them. Their choices are changing. They are getting brand conscious. They demand better ways of goods reaching them. Expectation of service is also high. Now, in this scenario, how is the rural setup are changing? So as you can see that the size of the shop is growing. They have a permanent structure. Many of them with a permanent structure have electricity. There are few with the rental premises. Also the storage capabilities are getting built, or companies are adopting innovative. So Godrej Cool. So that's a non-refrigerated. That's a container which can store your goods and keep your goods cool without needing actual electricity, etc. So companies are evolving ways and means to help this distributor store the goods for a longer duration, so that it can be made available when consumers need them. Many areas are the shops operate or this practice of full-time and part-time. So there are retailers who are full-time, retailers who act on a part-time basis. So even that is getting shaped up, so that their shops remain open for certain part of the hour, or maybe in the evening or morning, and then the person moves away to some other profession, then again he makes the shop available in the evening, or whichever way. So there is a part-time and full-time aspect is also shaping the way the rural distribution is happening. So rural retail shelf, one need to really now understand the shelf available to you in rural market. As the consumption habits of the rural people are changing, the demand for new products are rising. When the demand rises for the new product, the range available to sell increases. Their pack sizes and all each determine what is there for you to sell. Now, in such case, the shelf available for the brand demonstration is less. As you can see in this picture, hardly any shelf this thing can be seen, or hardly you can see a cluster of brand visible easily. So, challenge is to now find the shelf life or shelf space in the rural market. Those companies who have been there for ages, have the trusted partners who display their product prominently. Otherwise, it's a game of getting the retailer attention, for which you may have to lure him at times. The most important task is to make the product available in the time. However, it is also essential in their visibility. So, availability and the demand for the goods will come through visibility. Visibility needs an area in the shop where you can display your product. Clutter has grown. Clutter in terms of the brands, each brand has a certain mix available, size of the containers in which it is available. All this needs to, suppose, find a display place. There is no display place sufficiently available. Slow moving goods get accumulated. So, slow moving goods, in fact, needed to be displayed so that they move faster than the average speed. But because there is a focus on fast moving goods so much, that this product do not find the shelf life. In the absence of proper rakes and standard display support by the producers, etc., they are stocked in any haphazard manner, and therefore the brand benefits to employ strategies are not just reach the outlet but also to be visible. So, brand has to now today even think of ways to find a display on the retailer's shelf. So, as a result, they come out with certain incentive plans or certain certain innovative ways to get this, provided by the retailers. Emergence of modern retail in rural areas. We are talking about emergence of modern retail. So, let's understand what they are. So, these are some of the projects which are the representation of a modern retail approach. So, eChopal, DSL, DSCL's Haryali Kisan Bazaar, Tata Kisan Sansar, Godrej Aadhar, A3 Bazaar. So, let's study them one by one. What the fact that needs to be seen is that huge part of the 15 trillion Indian retail market is unorganized. In fact, the share of organized retail is only 5%. And out of about 10,000, out of the 650,000 Indian villages, this figure needs to be changed, have access to only organized retail services. So, 10,000 out of 650,000 only has organized retail access available. In such conditions, marketers have to adopt an innovative and unique way to really create, connect and reach to the people. So, these are the few examples. Once we study, we will get to understand better. So, let's come to ITC Chopal Sagar. So, what this project is. So, let's understand that. Chopal Sagar was the first rural mall in India, started way back in 2004, which offers multiple services under one roof. Chopal, as the name is also self-explanatory, is a place where you collectively meet. Malls are located near the stock points of ITC eChopals, making it an integrated model. We have earlier studied eChopals, where one guy who is trained to access internet through computer being provided to him, and he is able to provide his fellow farmers and the villagers markets condition, even weather conditions, the prices in and around areas, based on which even trading can take place. Or this person can decide to go to some specific market to get the better yield for his produce, etc. So, this particular ITC Chopal Sagar is a store or a location near eChopal, and as a result, the connect is very, makes the model integrated. At 7,000 square feet, these are too small to be a conventional mall. The average size of this Chopal Sagar is 7,000 square feet. So, it's again not a too small mall, otherwise we have a large perspective in mind, but it serves a sufficiently purpose to be known as a mall. And while they have opted for self-service, stocking the merchandise on shelves lining and neat, and its stocks are breadth of the product, no supermarket can take. So, they designed in such a way that they are able to display various produce of ITC in a manner that maybe in a mall it is difficult to find that kind of a shelf space. it offers almost everything from toothpaste to television to every item that you require. It defies pigeonholing. It is just a very supply throughput rural story. Very focused on supply. Supply that you constantly need in rural market. It is focused on that. Chopal Sagar acts as a marketing hub by supplementing the farm gate presence of e-Chopal. They are present within the tractorable distance from the e-Chopal centers. It offered a place where farmers could bypass intermediary and sell directly to the parent company. Farmers come and sell their produce here, thereby getting cash. So it is also offer not only the place where you get the product that you need, but farmers can come to this place and avoiding the middlemen can sell their produce, get the better rate. So in short, ITC has done, one is a e-Chopal, which is a very grassroots level initiative, supported that with the Chopal Sagar unit, where the people can come and sell their produce at a very economical rate. Thereby, you eliminate the all middlemen, you eliminate unwarranted built-up pile-up on the cost. So, ITC is also getting the feeder products that they need for their finished goods, which they supply to the consumers. It could be from atta to the biscuits to whatever. They need the input products. So, that's the input agriculture products are procured in such a efficient manner and using the services of Chopal Sagar. As it mentions that they are at a tractorable reach. So, e-Chopal and this place is something which the rural population manage through their tractors and reach out to those places easy. There is a road that leads you to there. So, possible to deal with the Chopal Sagar, that possibility is there and therefore it is getting more popular and attraction by the farmers. DSCL Haryali Kisan Bazaar. It is a DCM Shriram Group's initiative where they set up a Haryali Kisan Bazaar, HKB as they call this. It's a rural entry level initiative by this group way back in 2002. Aim was to create a long term relationship with farmers through supporting them direct sourcing of farm products, thereby increasing rural income, removing the middlemen. So that's another focus. Again, this company has varied other interests. They need a farm produce to come to them at an economical rate. So to do that and remove the middlemen from that farm produce procurement chain, they have created this setup. So again, it is done with the long term in mind, aimed at providing all under one roof retailing. So simultaneously, because farmer is going to come there to sell his product, you also offer products which farmer can take it back for his own personal use. So, all under one roof kind of a concept they developed. Again, it's a hub and spoke model and it revolved around that. So, that has been very economically handled in terms of logistics. House where the large center located in large rural agglomerations and highways or spread of 4-acre campus containing banks, fuel station, recreational areas. Spokes were the small convenience stores in 4 to 5,000 square meter area located in small towns having agri service and retail select categories. So, these people have used that hub and spoke module very effectively where they themselves created the hub and their spokes in the ground level. Ground level are the spokes and they have created hubs wherein various other support services are also available so that people prefer to come there. And when that happens, the middlemen are removed, each one gets the best win-win deal. So, that's the entire concept and feasibility of it and viability of it. And that's a base of its success. As you can see, Kisan Bazaar. This is a pictorial representation of it, where Kisan gets what he wants for his daily use, but at the same time, there is a buying center which takes the Kisan's farm produce in also. Tata Kisan Sansar. It's an initiative by the Tata Group, Tata Kisan Sansar, where Tata Chemical, which is one of the group company of the Tata Group, has started this association with the farmers through supplying them high quality agri inputs. So, Tata Chemicals also manufactures couple of agri feeds and agri inputs. So, they wanted to reach out to the farmers. They have done this through using this Kisan Sansar model. What is that model? In 1998, they started this particular thing named as TKS in 2002. However, it soon moved its proposition from the one-stop agri-input shop to one-stop farmer solution shop. So, earlier under one shop, all the Kisan agri-inputs were available it became now the farmer solution shop. The change that has happened is that it was made to convert into a solutions for the farmer. It's a network of nearly 600 farmer resource centers catering to more than 3.5 million farmers in almost 22,000 villages in northern and eastern part of India. So you can see that reach it is giving them, where farmers come to them, seek a solutions. Under the solution which are offered, there will be certain Tata Chemicals agri input that is needed. Farmer takes them from them and goes and applies that solutions. When benefit occurs, farmer tend to come to them again and again. So there is a relation that gets built that ensures the repeat, etc. So you can see that how relationship based, wherein relationship is developed, providing a solution to the farmer need. Earlier, so it was only the agri inputs, this thing. Now it is a solution center. So solution hub builds the long term relationship with the farmers. Godrej Aadhar. Aadhar Supermarket is a part of Future Group, a joint venture between Future Group and Godrej Agrovetiane, again the agriculture arm of Godrej Group, with more than 105 stores placed in Punjab, Rajasthan, Gujarat and Andhra Pradesh. Aadhar Supermarket provides modern shopping experience to the customers in rural and semi-urban areas of the Indian states. As you can see, it is like any other mall. It's a supermarket where rural consumers can come and take away their input needs. So that's what way to reach out to the rural consumers in a different way. Each group have their distinct product lines, and as a result, they are able to distribute the cost, economize on the scale, and reach out and tap the rural market very effectively. 3A Bazaar. This is the first mobile retailing initiative launched by leading export house in North India. This is to uplift and empower rural Indian by enhancing the reach of information and quality products. It aims at providing the rural retailing in India through a mobile vans. We have understood what is mobile vans. This is a model which is only running on mobile vans, tapping the rural empowerment potential, where they empower the youth of rural India to take up this. Currently, this is in operation only in villages in Uttar Pradesh. Every day, each van is stuffed with almost 1300 items worth almost 2.5 lakhs. 3L ranging from groceries, FMCG, cosmetic, garments, stationery, and they go to about 3 to 5 villages in a day, make their sale to the retailers, the stock is there, and come back. And next day, again, their route plans are developed. It is generally standardized over a period, and this is how the movement takes place, and they achieve the required result in terms of reaching their produce to the rural consumers, many times directly selling it to the rural consumers. So this is a 3A Bazaar model, which is based on the mobile van. So the aim of this 3A Bazaar is to help consumers buy authentic and quality products at a cheaper price. Again, the middlemen are removed. Idea is to reach out as many customers directly, but many areas they reach out through this, even the retailers all. Essence is to remove the intermediary channel, you know. This channel once go, the economies of scale, the margin available to each stakeholders improve. Rural consumers get this at a reasonable rate. It makes life easier for those lower middle class target consumers who have to travel long distance if this say facility would not have been made available to them. So they wait for this vehicle and the van to come to their area so that they can procure their input needs very well. So this is a concept of a 3A Bazaar, which is a mobile van based. So now let's move on to understand channel behavior in rural areas. So what are the behavioral aspects of various channel partners? One need to really understand so that accordingly you can utilize your marketing, promotions, etc. to lure them, to attract them, to retain them and all. It is important to examine the behavior of the rural retailers and impact of that on companies' marketing strategies. These are the behavior entails understanding of the following: purchase cycle and sourcing of the stocks, stocking behavior and seasonality, credit patterns, transfer of capital, pricing by the channel, channel promotion, retail consumer dynamics. So essential part is to understand these aspects. As you read this, you can understand. कि दिस इज इन एनी बिजनेस एनी कमर्शियल एंटरप्राइज नीड टू थिंक ऑफ दिस. यानी व्हाट इज अ परचेस साइकिल? परचेस साइकिल इज अ फ्रीक्वेंसी एट विच द रीपर्चेस इज गोइंग टू हैपन. एंड सोर्सिंग ऑफ स्टॉक्स, यानी फ्रॉम वेयर विल ही अक्वायर द स्टॉक. स्टॉकिंग बिहेवियर एंड सीजनलिटी, देयर आर सर्टेन सीजनल प्रोडक्ट, सो व्हेन द प्रोक्योरमेंट ऑफ दैट इज टू स्टार्ट. और स्टॉकिंग बिहेवियर, यानी हाउ इज ही गोइंग टू स्टॉक दिस आइटम, यानी वेदर ही एक्सपेक्ट्स अ लिमिटेड स्टॉक बट मल्टीपल बाइज, और ही इज विलिंग टू स्टॉक इट लार्ज क्वांटिटी सो दैट द फ्रीक्वेंसी द परचेस साइकिल कैन बी मेड लॉन्गर सो दैट कंपनी कैन ऑर्गेनाइज इज डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन इफेक्टिवली. क्रेडिट पैटर्न, यानी वेदर क्रेडिट कैश और एनी अदर ऑल्टरनेटिव मोड ऑफ प्रोटेक्टिंग द पेमेंट. कैपिटल ट्रांसफर, दैट इज हाउ द मनी विल बी मेड अवेलेबल फॉर द बिजनेस. प्राइजिंग ईच चैनल व्हेन इट पासिस टू द नेक्स्ट लेवल, देयर इज अ कॉस्ट एंड मार्जिन इन्वॉल्व, सो हाउ विल द नेक्स्ट गाय इज गोइंग टू प्राइस हिज प्रोडक्ट. हाउ विल यू क्रिएट अ प्रमोशन सो दैट द गुड्स पिक्ड अप बाय द फाइनल कंज्यूमर्स और पुश्ड बाय द चैनल टू द नेक्स्ट चैनल. सो पुश स्ट्रेटेजी विल रिक्वायर अ प्रमोशन फॉर द स्टॉकिस्ट. इट स्टार्ट्स फ्रॉम द this you know consumer guy, and he starts with that carrying and forwarding agents so that he pushes your product, then the wholesaler, stockist, etc. So you need a push strategy where you can create various push strategies so that your produce is pushed more. Even if some retailer coming and asking for other product, this guy tries to push your product. Pull is that end consumer end promotion that you do. So what will work and retailer consumer dynamic, when you say channel promotion, it is essentially a push strategy. Retail and consumer dynamics, how this is shaping up the future of your volume, your brand, etc. So let's take them one by one quickly. Purchase cycle and stock sourcing of stocks. Retailers and feeder will purchase item like cosmetic, packaged foodstuffs, detergent, toiletry from an agent or a distributor who visit their shop at regular interval and deliver this item. So these are those goods which move in frequent this thing. So they depend on the wholesaler or redistributors guy coming to their shop, taking the order and then getting the supplies. Retail is a remote village, however, are not serviced by any agent or a distributor. They get their inventory at a periodic interval from the nearby village or a town. They either may have to go or they will be provided at not so frequent interval. A retailer purchase cycle depends on the turnover. In a high turnover feeder village, it is often 3 to 4 times a week. So purchase cycle is how many times is he going to buy. So as they say, depending on the movement of the goods and the market size, you may have to frequently buy the required minimum stock. So that's why, and as they say, it may be 3 to 4 times a week. And so literally every day something is purchased by the retailer. In areas where retailers only depend on counter sales and not wholesale, it may be even once a week. So, where the goods are sold more on counter, over the counter types. So, as I said, the frequency may be once in a week or once in 10 days, once in fortnight, etc. And that's how the purchase cycles are determined. In case of those brands which are purchased directly from the company, maybe even month or more than that, quarterly, bi-monthly cycles are fixed up, where the company salesmen come at that periodic interval, take the order, place the order, and then he gets the supplies. So essentially this needs to be understand, purchase cycle and its modality. Like you have to see that if it is the FMCG goods, toothpaste, you know, salt, paper, you know, those kind of things, detergents and all, they move reasonably faster. And if it is a counter sale, then the weekly cycle could be okay. Wholesaler and distributor, maybe there you need more feeders happening. Seasonality is one aspect we will study ahead. Whether the goods are of long-term duration, whether it needs any freezing or, you know, air conditioning, agar, that also will decide the purchase cycle. So, that's all determines this and sourcing of the stock. So, for that, whether you have person coming to your shop or there is an agent who supplies once you place the order, or you may have to go to a specific place to pick up your goods, depending on the transport support that the redistributor or wholesaler giving it to your village. So all this determines purchase cycle and sourcing of the stocks. Then comes the behavior of the stocking and the seasonality. Since there is a defined seasonal pattern in the sales of various stocks in India, there is a seasonality seen in stocking pattern also. Retail inventory goes up by 3 to 4 times during the harvest, and retailers tend to stock a large and huge variety of various consumer items, followed by fertilizer and seeds before the agri season. The kind of goods that they stock post agri season, the kind of goods they stock, because the moment harvest is over, the goods are sold, the farmer gets money that he wants to utilize for his own personal need and aspiration and desire fulfillment. This also means that the markets have to also keep the seasonality in mind. Winter, summer led, so soft drinks and all sale go up during summer, but not during winter. Rainy, maybe moderate. So depending on that, seasonality plays a very vital role in India, because India is a land with multiple seasonality in different parts of the country. So that needs to be factored in, and that determines the stocking behavior of the retailer. Then comes the credit pattern, which is nothing but the consumer many a times have a running credit with the shop owners, which is settled month or fortnightly, etc. In rural market, to promote the sale, retailers have to probably give the credit. There is a goodwill between the party. They know each other. There is a kind of a respect, and there is an assurance the retailer has that he will settle his payment. So there is a running credit. Certain fixed amount of goods can be given to him without asking for cash and all, and it is expected within a week or 10 days, 15 days as pre-agreed, the settlement will happen. The outstanding amount is settled in cash or many times in kind, that is with another product. Now this generally happens on agri product more or less, and input products or output products that way. The credit that a retailer offers to consumer differs from area to area. In same area, the credit sale account for almost 60 to 70% of the total sale, while in other areas it may be low. Now, area to area, whether the area believes in credit sale, area believes in cash sale, etc. So, this pattern is geographical in nature. Credit is mostly extended in essential commodities like food and staple, but not on consumer goods. So, on certain nature of goods, the credit is generally given, but not in like a daily consumption item, where it is difficult to also manage and monitor kind of. So, FMCG company based retailer will not probably give a credit, but guy who is into the input agri products or food and other staple goods or this thing may offer a credit to the retail consumers. So this is to do with the credit pattern. It gets affected by various factors we have understood. Transfer of capital. Since most retailers themselves have land holdings, the pattern of capital transfer follows the retailer's own need for the cash at a specific point of time. So, when the harvest is over and the cash from the crops are realized, the retailer may use that money to build inventory. So, his capital gets invested in the inventory building. After the harvest, the fresh investment has to be made in the seeds and the fertilizer. So, investment may partly shift from store to the farm. And so, before as the harvest season approaches, the capital needs to be moved to the agri input products and not into the retail products kind of thing. So that's how the movement of capital takes place, as to essence is to where the money will be placed by this person, rural guy. So if he's into agriculture, before harvest it will go more towards agricultural inputs, after harvest it will go more towards his consumable needs, which may be his personal needs. So that's how the movement of capital takes place. So this the rural marketer needs to really understand where the capital is at the time that they want to sell. So if the capital is available at the time that they want to sell, they will get better sale. But if it is not the case, they will not get the desired sale. Pricing by the channel. Sometimes retailers in interior villages set all the price higher than the maximum retail price. Now this where the law is not reaching out or various other thing, he wants to earn more because he has put in the hardship to reach out kind of. So say for example, when you go for a trekking or when you go to a difficult part during your travel and tourism journey, you often notice that for the price that you pay for the bottle is higher than what you pay in otherwise in urban area. The reason being, either it's like, they've got this goods 2,000, 5,000 feet heights for you, and they are making you available. So, they are charging you more. They justify this based on the cost that they've incurred, the difficulty at which that they have to bring these goods there. Festive discount announced by the brands only end up in higher stocking, and this retailer and then the concessions are seldom passed on to the end consumers. Many times the festival discount, which is not openly announced, it is not a discount for this thing, it is a discount to the channel. In that case, trader will want to benefit, but the how much benefit that he passes on to the consumer decides the future of future price. Yani he may still sell at the same price, or discount that he earned, part of the discount he may pass on. So that decides the price of your goods at the time consumer comes to buy this. These malpractices are however diminishing owing to increasing media exposure. Consumers are getting conscious. Media is repeatedly telling them, do not buy anything above MRP. So consumers have started looking at MRP and asking this trader, why are you charging me more? But this overall, you have to account for that. Channel member in rural area seeks higher margin because for them, a distribution cost, the reach out cost to the remotest part of the rural market is definitely on a higher side vis-a-vis the urban India. And as a result, maybe the manufacturer will have to decide his rural pricing strategy differently and urban pricing strategy differently, and ensure that overall there is a win-win proposition for all the network partners and consumers are not exploited. Channel promotion. In interior villages, retailers buy very limited quantity and therefore do not qualify for the discount scheme, whereas retailers in the feeder markets buy in bulk and get the benefit of this scheme. As I told you earlier, the channel promotion is mostly from the push perspective. So the feeder market channel, so maybe the people up to say level 3 that we earlier discussed tend to benefit out of the promotion. The moment it is level 4, level 5, where the volume is not so much, they do not get that promotion benefit. Discount schemes should hence be targeted at retail and feeder markets. Depending on where company wants to make a difference, company can plan out its discounting scheme in such a way so that whether level 2, level 3 or level 3, level 4 benefit, and that facilitates goods reaching to the rural consumers at a most appropriate price so that your brand still holds value for money. As we earlier understood, the rural consumers are very conscious of value for money concept still, and that's where the challenge is. So the company needs to decide whom and what level you want to pass on a benefit, structured in such a way that maybe level 3, level 4 guys benefit, even level 5 at times, and that overall should ensure a fair price deal which holds value for money in eyes of your rural consumers. So channel promotion has to keep this in mind. Retailer consumer dynamics. So what is that? What works between these two entities? In spite of increasing brand awareness and the media exposure, retailer continues to be the dominant influencer. That needs to be really factored in. Consumer loyalty is very high in rural market and consumers are dependent on retailers for their needs. Loyalty being high, rural consumers once stuck to a particular brand will demand that, but retailer influence on them is there for various needs because consumer keeps going to him. Retailers are also stock there for brands that are more needed by their rural consumers. They are relented to stock there for new items. So the challenge for the new entrant or a new product, even for the successful brand, are on a higher side because retailer tend to fear that this product, if doesn't move, what will happen to the stock that he acquires. So this and similar other aspects needs to be factored, which is the dynamics between the two. So rural consumers are getting more value-based saving. They are more conscious. They are aware of what is available in the market. They are aware of various price and promo schemes, etc. However, the influence of retailer on him is very high, continues to dominate, and that needs to be factored in. And that needs to be factored in even during launch of a new product by the existing brand guy and by the new manufacturers coming in the rural market. Both will have to take this into account. So friends, we have completed this chapter 8, which is on the distribution and logistics in rural market. Thank you.